And we're back. Very similar headline there. It's unfair to criticize Zamfara governor for granting amnesty to bandits. That's a federal government speaking there.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. You were just telling me now, and I missed that. That on Nigeria Info Abuja, there's a Nigeria Info Lagos Abuja, and I think Port Harcourt.
That's
Nigeria
right.
Info Abuja, Sheikh Gumi granted an interview yesterday. Unfortunately, I missed it.
Right.
And you then told me that his submission was that we just have to negotiate with these bandits nationwide. And I ran into a dilemma the moment it was like dropping a hammer on me. Because the thrust of what happened in the National Assembly yesterday, the thrust of the argument, really and truly, if you were to summarize, is on the propriety or otherwise of negotiating with these bandits. Now, they say, look, it says that one man's revolutionist is another man's freedom fighter. Let's just get some things right now. The first is that these monsters are a creation of the politicians. They created this mess. And therefore, sometimes when you find some of them having to negotiate, they're negotiating with people that they know so well and had used in the past for all kinds of things. That is one picture that we get. The other thing, really, is that Nigeria is finally going through what the likes of the late Gani Emi feared and the late Tunji Braithwaite. We are finally going through a revolution. It's coming in small doses.
Mm.
It's coming in small doses nationwide. But people are now virtually standing up. Unfortunately, the manner in which it is being done has clouded the environment. But the truth is, Nigeria is not facing necessary criminal activity. What you're getting is a revolution in the making. And it is very, very dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Now, let us tell ourselves the home truth. Do we have the capacity to bring down all these, including the herdsmen? Don't forget, it's all the same across the board, including the herdsmen. Do we have the capacity to pin them down? I can't beat my chest to say that we have. Maybe some military experts will be able to tell me that we don't. Obviously, because part of the politics that we play on the outside, I am sure, has also affected the military and other armed forces themselves, which is the number one problem, unity of purpose. Therefore, my submission is that, because there's another part to it. Some people would argue with you that it was in negotiation with the Niger Delta militants. I said one man's freedom fighters,
yeah,
another man's,
yeah,
terrorists.
Yeah.
Of the Niger Delta militants, the way they were, we negotiated with them to bring down tension and so on and so forth, is what has also probably spread across the board.
Right.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't negotiate with these people, what do we do? Do we go to war against them? How much sympathy do they even have with the common man? If you take away the terrorist side of things,
mm-hmm,
if you take away the fact that they're involved in banditry and so on, which, if you ask anybody who has a sense of history, is how these things are generally funded. If you take away that aspect, are the general public a large percentage in sympathy with them? That we need to find out. That we need to find out. Now, if you negotiate with them, how are you sure that it won't lead to another rash of some group coming up?
Mm.
The bottom line is, this is the result of the poverty that our leaders have created. And they have to clear up that mess.
So is there a clear-cut way out of this?
There is none. If you notice, I've been shifting bit to the left, mm-hmm, and a bit to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't... If you ask me on impulse now, as I'm sitting down on this chair...
Yeah.
I would say we'd have no choice but to negotiate.
Hmm.
But then I'm not a military expert, okay?
Yeah.
And therefore...
fair enough.
But yes,
fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, so my gut feeling is that negotiate with these people so this problem can disappear. But I'm also aware that negotiating with them can sometimes lead to more groups coming up, because at the end of the day, people are disgruntled.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will tell you these are the bold ones amongst them. Some people, and we have been warning our leaders. We have been warning them about the way they had carried out the activities, about the way, access to the cookie jar. And so we had been warning our leaders that this thing is going to erupt one day. That eruption is what you are seeing. And I think if care is not taken, we only just begun. So we do need to nip it in the bud. Like I said, I think some form of negotiation has to take place.
Right.
To be honest with you,
right.
I think some form of negotiation has to take place. And I'm glad the Senate, whilst the government itself is pussyfooting, I'm glad the Senate has brought this up. Well, we don't know whether there's some synergy between them, to go through this route. The Senate, remember that the Senate and House are the representatives of the people.
That's right.
So I'm glad we're having this discussion now. And hopefully we'll come out with some form of resolution.
Hopefully.
So it's at the end of the day, I've said nothing.
It's fine. It's really fine. It's a hard thing to balance.
Yes,
really.
I don't feel satisfied at all that I've said anything.
Because the governors themselves, they want peace in their state, so they have to do something. Everybody is criticizing them for our governor for granting amnesty to the bandits, but he wants peace. He wants everybody to be able to go about their normal duties.
Yes, there's no problem with that.
As well.
There's no,
and
but
people
you
are
see,
saying, no, you can't negotiate with bandits. You can't grant amnesty to bandits.
But you see, you see, the fear is that another group will surface. That is the only fear about negotiation, really. And that is why you find an America, for example, always insisting that they would not negotiate with terrorists, but they do so behind the walls.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
All of us have a fair idea of how these things do take place.
That's right. Okay, well, let's quickly move on. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube if you're watching. It's Dailies Today with Jimmy and Sheriff. You can go there and let us know what you think about all this conversation. We'd like to hear from you. Let's go back to the Punch, page 14. SMBF, others condemn rumored herdsmen invasion of Soyinka's residence. SMBF, that's Southern Middle Belt Forum. Others condemn rumored herdsmen invasion of Soyinka's residence.
Now, this is the typical Nigerian reaction without doing a proper investigation and finding out what happened. So this is a story now. The SMBF is what are they? Who are they? They're the South, whatever, Middle Belt Forum or whatever it is, and they're reacting. Condemn rumored husband invasion of Soyinka's house and so on and so forth. But guess what? Bingo! I had another story hidden here.
Yeah.
That he didn't see. And he says, headsmen didn't attack Soyinka. Period. I rest my case. And it turns out that it was a case of stray cows. Even when I was in school way back in the 70s, sometimes you have cows coming from nowhere, stray cows. So let's not get excited at the sight of any cow, of cows. I just wanted to bring these two stories to light to beg our people who are in positions that have access to the media to be thorough in their thoughts before you react to certain things and blow up. Imagine if Soyinka's son hadn't said that the husband didn't attack him, and I'm sure that's why he said it. He said that. Olaokun Soyinka in the statement said it was fake news. He said, "This is not true. Please do not circulate further and help to debunk. It is an attempt to encourage discord. Although some scouts were spotted, neither Prof nor his house was attacked by anyone. I have confirmed this today directly myself from him. Kindly do not fall for this attempt, whatever the motive, to further inflame this problematic situation. God bless the Soyinkas. God bless them. Some other persons would have latched on to it. This new excitement that we have where everybody wants to react and put petrol in a burning fire, I don't know where it came from. A lot of people just get excited at the fact that, they have an opportunity now with the social media and everything to gain some kind of prominence. But it comes with a responsibility, and that is what we must never forget. So, there were no cars, just a few cars that came to Wole Soyinka's premises, but he was not attacked by anybody.
Then we should all be careful as well when we get news like this to be very reluctant in spreading them.
Sorry, I just saw something now, just one second. It says, on Tuesday 9th, February 2021, one Kazim Shoniola, an indigenous of Ijeunwa Abeokuta, who is into the cattle business, was said to have been informed by a young Fulani man, Awalu Mohammed, who takes care of the cattle, that one of his cows had gone missing. So so he went in search of his cow. So don't let's get ourselves too much excited at the sight of either a cow or a Fulani herdsman.
Indeed. We're staying with the Punch newspaper. Fanny Kaede approached me on planned defection to APC. Bello. Oh, my goodness me.
I told you the guy is a smart aleck. Fanny Kaede is one of the smartest.
So why is Bello coming out to say that?
He wants to bust his bubble. You approach them and you cannot keep going back and forth and saying, making it look as if you were approached.
What if he didn't approach them?
Well, there. What if? But he did. That's what Bello is saying. Except you want to say you don't believe Bello.
Why should we believe him?
Why should we believe Bello?
Yeah.
Why should we believe Fanny Kaede?
We're not believing anybody. That's what I'm saying. So we're not believing anybody.
Let's drop the story. It's not important.
It's irrelevant. They're just wasting our time.
You reckon?
Yeah.
No. It does for me is these two persons, for example, have some kind of cult following, and I like to use it to tell, especially our young people, that in politics in Nigeria, self-interest always comes first. So you better know that. When you rally behind a politician and so on and so forth, know that his own self-interest comes first. And remember that I mentioned in passing yesterday that this gentleman has a big case against him. I leave the rest to you to sort out.
Let's drop the Punch. Let's go to the Vanguard, page 18. Please, shelve occupy Lekki toll gate. It's here on page 18.
Yeah, that says Vanguard quickly puts up an editorial, trying to say, discourage the Occupy Lekki toll gate that I think is scheduled for Saturday. But they say that the move for the protest gathered, that's the history. They say we call on both sides to shelve their protest in the interest of public peace and to avoid the obvious unpleasant consequences. Prevention is better than cure. There is no way this protest can hold without violent clashes taking place. And so on and so forth. So you can read the Vanguard. The argument mainly is for the convenience of the Occupy Lekki toll gate to please do a rethink. And I think I'm inclined to also say the same. Kelvin said, one of our regular callers.
Yeah.
There are other ways by which you can protest without even leaving your seat now. You don't need to hit the streets. Somebody put up an argument that how do you protest without hitting the streets? And I said, look, there are other ways by which these things can be done. And then somebody now says, Jimmy, this will tell us how. You want me to be a lecturer in revolution? Nah.
That's not going to happen.
Yes, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Think it out yourself.
All right. We're going back to Vanguard right now. Southwest Voice, that's the page. Killer headsmen, why Yoruba should protect themselves. Sunday Igboho is speaking.
Igboho is in the news every day. He's having his time. He should know that there's an expiry date on this kind of attention. He's having his time. But I just thought his thoughts are, in this interview, and they're quite interesting. By the way, I don't know whether he took our advice or whatever, but I heard he got a spokesperson to speak for him now in public. I saw somewhere that he appointed a spokesperson for him as at yesterday. I hope he has appointed a professional who will know, the use of words and so on and so forth. But some things that he say here, that he says here could be of interest to you, is asked, do you have any political ambition? And he says that there's nothing more honorable than what he's doing for the Yoruba cause. And he says, definitely, I'm not going into politics. So that takes care of that. And he says, you are alleged to have said you could fight Boko Haram without government support. And he said, it is a total fabrication and sensation, which the journalist who orchestrated it failed to substantiate beyond a reasonable reason. I never at any point in time said that it is fake news. He says something here, Sheriff, that you find interesting.
Okay.
He's asked, don't you think you need the support of traditional rulers and other influential voices in the region for your efforts not to be in vain? And he said that he gives a hearty laugh and he says, the majority of the traditional rulers are supporting me. Now listen, are you listening, Sheriff?
Yes.
He says, they secretly invited me to rescue them. but they can't say it in public when the government refused to do the right thing.
Hmm.
So
that says a lot.
It says a lot. It says they secretly invited me to rescue them. Okay, but in public now, that's what he claims. But he said something also here that there is no more fear of civil war regarding the cause that I am fighting. Those who thought that such would happen have the fear because they have a hidden agenda. We are not waging any war against the Fulani people. That is quite refreshing.
Mm.
So I think some people have counseled him about having to step down his whatever.
Right.
But I think he probably needs to send one or two photographs to the newspapers.
So someone said it seemed that he listened to your advice. You know, yesterday you were just talking about him
It's possible. I gave him advice from my good heart.
Mm.
Another thing I need to advise Mr. Egboho is send about 10 of your photographs to the newspapers so that when they want to use photographs, when you're interviewed or whatever, they don't use this photograph with you with all this ifunpa do and if you are watching
Abidjan.
This is Abidjan. This one is Abidjan. This one is what is this one on the right hand?
Why are you asking me now?
This one. I know this one. This one is Ifunpa. This one is all kinds of things, Mr. Egboho, please try and get in touch with them and tell them to please use this. I'd rather they use this than because now you have to work on your image.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be seen in what Yorubas call jagidi jagbon.
Mm.
You understand?
As an aggressor of some sort.
As an aggressor. I didn't know how to translate that. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. Listen. But to use this photograph, is this one Ifunpa Lele now?
That one is Ifunpa.
Is this not the one that you used to talk to women? No, is that one? Is that Lele? But all well and done. The what I'm beginning to see from this gentleman, you know, is quite encouraging. It looks as if, after all, he's not just a troublemaker, a rabble rouser.
Mm.
And I think for as long as he moves along that path, he will gather a lot of support.
Mm, indeed. And that's what he needs. If he's going to be an activist, you don't want to be a problem.
Yes, he has to. Your image has to be managed.
Yeah,
it has to be managed seriously. And from one who has been close to quite a number of activists and been involved in these things on the G level.
Yeah.
It's okay. you have to put a balance out there.
Mm, indeed. So let's go back to the nation. Clark, my battle with COVID-19. Niger Delta leader seeks sanction against Bello.
No, I'll leave the politics out of it. But Edwin Clark, I think, is about 93. And I just wanted you to know that COVID is not a respecter of persons.
Right.
And he gives his experience here. If you get a copy of the Nation, he says, "My battle with COVID-19. It's quite important. And he said, even said that about 18 people in his household failed to. So it spread quite quickly.
Right.
And so we just need to be extremely careful, please.
Mm, indeed.
And congratulations, Papa. It's not yet time.
Yeah, he survived it. We're glad he did. We're streaming live on Facebook and on YouTube. Let me take some comments off of Facebook. Uncle Jimmy, I'm trying to believe now because you said Uncle A.A. Who is A.A. again?
I don't know.
Have moved. Okay. I think he's talking about Fanny Kaede. Uncle AA have moved to APC. Sunday is making the newspaper every day more than the governor of the state. Sunday, at the end of the day, he can come out to be governor of the state.
He has already said categorically he's not joining
anything. Kamara Abiona said Yaya Bello addressed people on his face and said that Fanny Kaede is now an APC member. And Fanny Kaede has never debunked it immediately.
No, so he has.
What are we talking about?
In the papers today, he says he's still in the...
He's saying that Bello said that in Fanny's face.
Oh, in Fanny's face, yes. I remember. Yes.
And he did not say anything then.
I told you that Fanny Kaede is smart. Fanny Kaede is 10 times smarter than all of us put together. When it comes to managing things, that's how he survived all this while.
Hmm.
You know, that's why he survived all this. The guy is a smart aleck. He can read situations. And thankfully, and as you would have it, he's well-spoken.
Yeah,
so he can put his words together. Because, you see, if you were to go by what... I just don't want to go down... If you were to go by what he had said about the APC in the past, You'll be asking yourself, excuse me, are they talking of the same person? Mm. But the gentleman is a smart aleck. He understands Nigerians more than you and I.
Yeah.
We are still out there saying all kinds of Turenchi and so on and so forth. Mm. This guy knows the nitty-gritty. He's going for it. But what is most important is for you to know that self-preservation is always at the back of the mind.
He went to former President Jonathan's house and visited with him. I think that was yesterday or Tuesday, I'm not sure.
Mm.
And that made it to the news yesterday. And one will be wondering, you know, there was this speculation that Jonathan might just be moving over to the APC. And APC said, no, we're not talking to Jonathan. And then he had a meeting with APC, then goes to meet former President Jonathan.
You're pushing me to a point where I need to ask
you questions. Push.
Okay, now the first question is, politically, what is the strength of Fanny Kayode? He's a mirage. He has not run for election. Okay, he's not known to have that kind of influence in what it should be his base in the Ife region. He's virtually, quote and unquote, unknown in that region. But he has made his way in politics by just being right there in the pages of newspaper and in the media. He's a smart aleck. Very smart guy. Okay? Very smart guy. And I give it to him. He knows how to... But what has... Ask me what his major contribution has been. I can't point to it. Ask me, apart from being a minister and spokesperson for Jonathan and whatever, ask me specifically what else. Let's break it down to the nitty-gritty. I can't point to it. But this gentleman understands this country more than you and I. I'm beginning to ask myself that, look, for 7 years you've been coming on radio shouting this about this and that. Look, how many people actually align their thoughts with you? Are you sure you are okay? I look at myself in the mirror and ask myself, are you sure you know what you're doing? But my mind is solid with fundamentals of a good society.
Mm.
And I'm not inclined to want to take advantage of my people. I will continue to do the best that I can do, for them without any agenda or whatever.
Hmm.
So, but these guys know this country. There are loads of people, Sharif.
Yeah.
We are just sitting, wasting our time.
Hmm.
Do you have a Rolls Royce?
No, I don't.
Do you have an SUV? Bulletproof?
No, I don't.
Do you have a mansion?
It's okay now.
I wanted you to ask me so I can ask you. because... Unfortunately, we now live in a society where success is measured by material things.
Mm.
God help us.
Yes, God help us. Let's chip this in because this is quite an interesting story. We have about a minute left. 400 Lekki tollgate neighbors displaced as Lagos demolishes houses. So I saw this story yesterday.
Yeah, I saw this story yesterday and I still don't understand it fully. But what occurred to me in bringing this to the fore, is for the need for the Lagos State Government to take a very strong look at uncompleted buildings in our state. They have become a haven.
Hmm.
Everywhere. Go to Ikoyi, go to even the Habra areas where you get a lot of ground rent, and every neighborhood must have a Habra area.
Hmm.
You shouldn't run away from it.
Right.
But I expect our elite to have kicked. Ikoyi is under siege, but they don't know it. Ikoyi is under siege, but they don't know. And what I will do is that at 9 o'clock, I will take this story a bit further.
Yeah.
You know, we have the commissioner coming
at
9.
Yes, I do.
He's going to give us the names of those who did that nonsense.
That Banana Island.
Banana Island, whatever. He has promised that he'll give us this.
Okay. Story. And he's also going to explain Sanwo-Olu Lisins.
Sanwo-Olu Lisins, yes. So we'll have a nice report.
That's coming over at 9 o'clock.
That's coming at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jimmy, we must go now. Thank you so much for coming around.
Yeah.
Many thanks to our sponsors, MTN Nigeria, for making sure that this show comes your way. I am Sharif Quadri. It's been nice doing this with Jimmy Disu. Thank you all for joining us as well. We're back at 8, top of the hour, for the news. After the news, we continue with our conversation on Shehu Gumi's interview on Nigeria Info FM Abuja, where he said, look, pay these guys and let's have peace. Good morning to you.
Morning.